Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
And here's the irony, getting the real life experience, usually people think that has to be dating experience.
Michael Johnson on Focus on the Family Minute, sharing dating tips for Christian singles.
Like, well, I guess I got to go out with 30 different, no, that's like experience getting along with your roommates. That's experience getting along at work. That's experience making sacrifices at your church so this girl can go on this mission trip because you and your small group sent her. That's the kind of experience. No, not experience between the sheets. Experience above the sheets where you will live the vast majority of your married life. But learning in those contexts of how to have, you know, healthy relationships.
More about dating well from Michael Johnson at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Red Scooter Deli on 6th Street has a patio that you need to check out. Enjoy your favorite Red Scooter breakfast or lunch on the cozy heated patio. Order in person or online. Check out Red Scooter's Grab and Go stock daily with wide selection. Red Scooter Deli serving you fresh food for over 16 years. Red Scooter Deli is at 711 6th Street next to the Pet Center with tons of parking. Go to RedScooterDeli.com, open 6:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily. Use promo code KPRL for a $5 discount.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. Warren's friends and co-workers always knew he'd wind up, as they put it, in the nut house. He'd had a nervous breakdown, all right, but the sanitarium in which he found himself was scarcely an asylum. It was more a health spa, actually, a popular facility run by the innovative, slightly controversial Dr. John. And still, the doctor had assured Warren's worried family that his sanitarium was indeed the ideal place for the young man to recover. And so, 5 days after his 24th birthday, at the urging of his father, Warren checked himself into Dr. John's sanitarium. The new patient's introductory interview quickly revealed the rest of the story. He was a newspaper man, first of all, enough to drive anyone to distraction. His newspaper, The Star, had proved a formidable challenge from the day he became its editor and part owner in the town of Marion, Ohio. Warren personally researched and wrote all of the local news. He solicited and wrote the paper's advertisements. He even helped set the type and round up the delivery boys, and all this each and every day. Warren tormented and exhausted himself in the promotion of his publication. He even made sure that the names of every man, woman, and child in town would appear in this Star at least once a year. Well, to achieve his goals for the paper, he slept in his office. He ignored his personal needs. He published so close to the edge that he often wrote news stories straight into the print case. The only time the Star ever came close to missing a deadline was when Warren attempted to mend his only pair of trousers, so he promptly went back to neglecting himself for the good of the paper, he said. To shed stress, he chewed tobacco, and so furiously that he had to keep a brass cuspidor on his desk, and thus, with Warren at the helm, did the Star sail bravely through depression times and political turmoil and legal difficulties. But his newspaper's success carried a big price tag, an unaffordable one. For one day, the journalist who did everything could suddenly do nothing and found himself sitting, staring into space, or weeping for no apparent reason. And it was in this useless condition that Warren finally arrived at Dr. John's sanitarium. Friends in Marion, Ohio, expected never to see him again, at least not the vigorous, ambitious young man they had known. But the folks back home had underestimated the stuff of which he was made and the skill of the physician into whose care he had been entrusted. For after a few weeks, traveling Dr. John's personally prescribed road to health, Warren returned home with a rosy complexion, 20 pounds lighter, and raring to go. The Marion newspaper man was to visit Dr. John's sanitarium for recovery and refreshment four more times over the next dozen years, and each time he returned in better shape than the time before. Had these two men never met in the autumn of 1889, there's no telling what might have become of the overworked, overwrought journalist who slept in his office and set his own type, a determined but self-destructive newspaper man who instead went on to become President of the United States, Warren G. Harding. But all of the rest of his life, President Harding knew in his heart the profound significance of his cure in the care of Dr. John. Dr. John Kellogg of Battle Creek, Michigan, the physician who put the nation's future chief executive back in business by feeding him personally something he had concocted called cornflakes. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Eric Gorham and I'm filling in for Karen Veely this afternoon. You usually hear me here a few times a month anyway. She is out on assignment, so I'd be checking up on Cal Coast News, see what she's writing about. I'm sure there's some scandal. She's good at finding them and reporting on them. We have a good show for the last hour here. We have Jeff Oslin in the studio. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Eric.
We are going to be talking about Atascadero for the most part, and I think most people know who Jeff is. He ran for supervisor. He had a business in Atascadero. He still does have a business in Atascadero, but he sold one and started, bought another, right?
Yeah.
And kind of, I think what a lot of people, at least if you're in Atascadero and you kind of know the who's who, you know that Jeff is kind of watching things. He's at city council meetings. He's kind of a watchdog in Atascadero, which we appreciate. And I think he's going to be reporting on some of that. We had some interesting stuff this week, Jeff.
We did. We definitely did. Our council kind of got blown up a little bit, you know, with, going from five that could be in the room to three. And I think it went astray. So.
And this was on the vacation rentals?
Yeah, STRs. So short-term rental. It's been going on in the city of Atascadero, whether they do regulations, don't do regulations, for about 2.5 years. And be honest with you, every time they bring this up, it is a late night at council. This one ended at 9:55 p.m. We have put hours upon hours into this over the last 2.5 years.
So why, do you know why this came up originally?
I do. Our former mayor and I believe Charles Barbeau both brought it to see if we needed to do something, because
discretionary though, this is, do we need to?
Yeah, and yeah. And I think at the time it made a lot of sense, because what they were trying to do was prevent the big corporations such as was it BlackRock or whatever, from scooping up residential property, putting them on the market under STRs, and making housing expenses higher for those that live here.
Right.
But this has gone astray.
So what are they talking about? I mean, what is the crutch of this? I mean, what, it's still going. I believe the stuff went to the staff to try to figure out a plan. So why are we doing this, for one? And then what are we doing? What are they trying to do?
Exactly. That's what we're trying to figure out. So originally it was brought, council asked the city manager and staff to look into if there's anything we should do and how to do it. And they did a very good job originally of kind of going that direction and giving guidance to the planning commission of let's look into these things and what we should do for regulation and making sure that we don't lose tax money from somebody who's doing short-term rental and not paying TOT tax, which is transit occupancy tax. Every hotel in the state pays it somewhere. It's an extra tax that goes into the coffers. So if you have, let's say, 150 rentals in Atascadero and you have 200 people renting but only 150 with a business permit for it, then you're losing out on funds. So that's where it kind of started. The state of California has kind of made that part easier because they want tax money as well.
Yeah.
So what they just did, and Eric and I were just talking about this, they passed and went into effect January 1st, Senate Bill 346, which now makes it to where all of the companies, whether it's Airbnb, and I don't know the companies out there.
There's a lot of them.
Have to report upon request to the cities or your jurisdictions who's renting, and therefore you can get the ones that are doing tax evasion. So this problem has gone away. So you have that definitely going on now. So that takes care of that. They could have just passed that on Tuesday night at council and moved on. This keeps going back and forth and back and forth. And about 6 months ago, they sent it to the Planning Commission. And that was the biggest cluster shoot you've ever seen. I was on the couch and I turned it on the radio or live, whatever it was. And I literally had to tell my daughter, put some clothes on, put your shoes on. We have to go to City Hall.
We're going to town.
She's like, what? I go, I have to speak. This is crazy. And it got out of hand. And the person that really took it out of hand at the time, in my opinion, was the chairperson, Tori King.
Okay.
And she's ran for council a couple times and hasn't made it.
Yeah, not real successful so far in that.
Yeah, thank God. But that's my opinion.
Yeah, I'd back you up with that.
That's not a good thing. They actually, at the end of the night, through all this, took it their way, did whatever they wanted, not the direction of the council and the staff is saying, here's what we're focusing on. They voted on it. It failed. They re-voted on it and passed it. And it was so bad that it went to city manager and council, and they pulled it from an agenda item and brought it back now 6 months later. But my understanding is they had to get some legal rulings. And what happened Tuesday night is both Heather Newsom and Heather Newsom and Seth Peek had to recuse themselves from the discussion.
And this was more of a forced recuse. I can't talk.
Yeah, from the attorneys.
Yeah, yes. The attorneys basically said, this isn't, you know, sometimes I look at people and I go, oh, you recused yourself. I don't know. But this wasn't that. This was, they were told they had to.
Yeah, my understanding is they actually got a letter, not just from our city attorney this time, but from FTTP, that, and said, you have conflict, you have to recuse yourself. Now, I think there's ways they can legally back into it down the line. So they had to endure the three left on council discussing things. And I think Mayor Barbeau might have been, I probably agreed with him about 80% of what he was trying to do. Council member Funk went another direction. There's only one or two things I'm not too thrilled about that she brought up. But I think, you know, when things come back to her, she might get reasonable on it. And then honestly, and I called him yesterday, I was very disappointed in Mark Durez and the direction he went with more regulation. And that's where we're in, and that's the good conversation.
Right. You know, and to me, we are in an economy, we're in a place in this county, in the Paso and Atascadero, where more regulation is not a good thing. We don't need more costs to do business. We don't need more bureaucracy built, and it seems like we're really good at that here in Slo County. We like to keep hiring people that kind of suckle at the teat of our tax money. And what I don't understand, I guess, to me, this can be solved with two things. You get a business license, you pay your taxes. And then if you don't, your tenants do not abide by the laws, you as a neighbor call the police, make a noise complaint, whatever it may be. You strengthen what's already on the books. And to me, if you're doing business, you need a business license. You know, or at least some way to trigger that we are going to get tax money. You're going to pay transient tax. I mean, we could disagree or not. I don't know.
We fully agree.
But that's just my opinion. Get a business license, pay your taxes.
When it comes to STRs, fully agree. And that's how it's been right now. pay your taxes. If you're thinking somebody's not doing it, we now have the teeth in this state. Sometimes regulation's a good thing.
Right.
But we don't really have a problem in the city of Atascadero. And now we're trying to say you have to be a full-time resident. So if you leave town,
you can rent your house.
You can rent your house, but it can't be for more than, a little less than 6 months to be a full-time resident, so on and so on. Hey, come on. Enough's enough of this stuff. And then we're going to make exceptions in the downtown that they can do what they want, call it what you want, the entertainment district. Not so sure I disagree with that. Do what you need there. But the problem that we have out there, and I'm good friends with somebody that lives next door to one of these problematic houses, and they're very far and few between.
Mm-hmm.
There's like 180 rentals, short-term rentals, on the books in Atascadero. Don't quote me on the number, but that's an approximate. And you have very few problems. One of them happens to be, let's face it, if you get a bunch of young people that decide they're coming to the Central Coast, they're going to party their butts off,
mm-hmm.
and they jump in the hot tub.
Got a bachelor party going on or something.
Yeah. A hot tub or swimming pool at 1 in the morning, and they're making a ton of noise. Well, call the police. We already have regulations for noise ordinances.
Right.
And if they can't do anything about it, then strengthen the ordinances on the books. We don't need new ones. That's my opinion.
Right. And I think going in, a lot of times what I've seen, and I don't know exactly what Atascadero is, maybe you do, but sometimes it's like, well, we want to go in and we want to look at the houses. We want to inspect the houses. We want to see if there's ADA. We want to see if there's proper parking. Do you have a handicap parking spot? Do you have this, this, and that? And I don't know that. I personally don't feel we need that.
No, and that's the next direction that they want to go. So you have to pay for a permit, somewhere between $1,200 and $1,800 a year to have your home inspected for this, that, and the other, because people moving into our area for a weekend don't understand that they're in a high fire zone or or they don't have egress. That's the property owner's problem.
It is.
That's the insurance company's problem. I mean, that's what you need. And to hear the excuses out there that, well, we're the only jurisdiction, city or county, properties in the county that doesn't have SDR regulations. Maybe we don't need them. Just because everybody else doesn't mean anything. And then, you know, unfortunately, I was listening to some of the garbage going on in the city to the south of us, which I definitely will say, San Luis. Keep your tax dollars in North County, please. They now want to do a rental registry for all rental properties in their city. And then they want to do inspections, which they tried to do, I think, in, I don't remember when they did it, but the former mayor who's now on council put that through, and they got sued over it and dropped it. And then they tried to do this, I think, in 14 or 15. And Stu Jenkins, of all people, threatened a lawsuit against them. Might have sued him, I don't remember. And they took it away, and they were going to put it on as a ballot measure to kick it to the curb. And once again, it's back up.
Right. No, I think what we see is a lot of cities, the county, et cetera, around the state trying to find ways to get money. And I don't know if this is what this is or not, or if it's just purely about regulation. But, I mean, to me, if you're going to do this, and I did not listen to the city council meeting, but I want to know why you're doing it. Like, why do we need it? Why do we need more bureaucracy? And if you can't explain that to me, like I'm a second grader and I go, oh, you're right, then I don't know that we need it. I mean,
I don't believe we need it on this. And if we needed anything, put some teeth in the noise ordinance. I mean, you see that we have a lot of regulation already on the books. It's not really enforced. I can prove that from a city of Atascadero standpoint as a resident business owner in the city. I've been going to these council meetings forever. We all know I try and keep them honest. I tell them that all the time. And here's the crazy part. Whether it's city employees or whether it's council, I've always kept things separate. I might be at your house having a beer, dinner, or whatever it might be, a barbecue. But when it comes to the good of our city, I try and do what's in the best interest of our residents of our city.
Yeah, and I think you have a track record in Atascadero that speaks for itself. And, you know, we actually need more people to get involved. And, you know, I hear, you know, I was saying it in the last half hour, I hear people complaining all the time, but it's, we get them in the Republican headquarters. They come, well, what are you doing? You know, why is it my responsibility to do what you are passionate about? You know what I mean? But so, so let's kind of break this down a little bit. So we only have three council members voting. We have Charles, we have Funk, and we have Mark. What are they differing on opinion? Is there a fight going on with what they want? Or are they started sort of agreeing? Or what?
Well, they always have discussion, and then they come to a consensus whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. But without the other two on the dais, I don't think it's a fair discussion.
And they consider three a quorum?
Yeah, that was three is a quorum.
Okay.
And they don't need a 2-1 vote. As long as there's a majority vote, things go. So they sent it back to city staff. City staff's already overworked on this. They've put enough hours into this. Now you're wasting taxpayer dollars because 2.5 years of this stuff needs to stop.
Right.
And I think our mayor was trying to go a certain direction. I don't know if I agree or not agree, but if the other two were up on the dais and they went that direction, there's a lot of things sometimes I don't agree with, but if they're all kind of a more consensus, I'm there. Mm-hmm. But I think, in all honesty, we took the conservative view away and went more non-conservative, so you're not in the middle.
Right.
And we went too far. I mean...
Well, the interesting thing to me is what you told me. It sounds like, in your opinion, Mark's the one going farther with, and he would be, out of the three, I would believe he's the most conservative.
Yeah, I would have thought so. And it's, you know, Mark and I had a conversation, full disclosure, I called him yesterday, said I'm going on the radio and I'm not happy with the way you did it, but we're friends. I wanted him to know up front that this one here is bothering the heck out of me.
Right.
And he wants inspections, so that's now being looked into.
And I will say, just to be fair about this, Mark, if you are listening, you're welcome to call in. You have my phone number. I can give you the private line. And you're welcome to call in and give us your side of this, because I'd be more than willing wanting to hear it. We will. With that, we'll be right back with more KPRL and Sound Talk.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages ending mixed with the Dow advancing. However, the tech-heavy NASDAQ fell as AI chip darling NVIDIA's solid fourth-quarter earnings failed to sustain a recent rebound in shares of tech companies. Tech was the worst performer, while financials and industrials gained. The Magnificent Seven big-cap tech stocks were mostly lower, led by NVIDIA, Alphabet, and Tesla. Shares of NVIDIA tumbled 5.5% despite delivering earnings that blew past Wall Street estimates. Sales for its crucial data center division grew by 75% to over $62 billion, easily beating analyst forecasts. The Dow winners, Salesforce, American Express, and Goldman Sachs. The Dow decliners, NVIDIA, Caterpillar, and Amgen. The Dow up 17 points, the NASDAQ lower by 274, S&P 500 down 37. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
If you're over 40 and plan to retire someday, the window to protect what you've built may be smaller than you realize. As retirement moves from someday to on the horizon, protecting what you've built becomes just as important as growing it. And that's where Noble Gold Investments comes in. They help investors reduce risk by adding gold and silver to their portfolios. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com, NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult with your tax or financial professional before making investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Thank you. When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty, that's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 0219-9910.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
And good afternoon and welcome to Sound Off. I didn't make any mistakes when we went off air last time at all. I didn't call it something else. I don't know. Got tongue-tied pushing buttons and looking at the screen there. But I believe Mark is going to call in here shortly. He called me while we were at break, and he wants to represent his side, so I'm glad he's doing that. In fact, the line is lighting up. Good afternoon, Councilman. How are you doing, sir?
How are you, Nerd?
Good. So, yeah, I think you kind of wanted a chance to represent how you feel about this, what you're looking for, et cetera. So go for it. Yeah, I'm happy you called. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Well, I was listening a little bit to what the conversation you guys were having. On the regulations, I'm not looking for additional regulations. I don't want to make this harder for anybody to have a short term rental. There's an interesting push and pull on this. I mean, I can appreciate the extra income that it comes to the owners, the homeowners. I mean, that's a nice little supplement to your income, and also the income that it comes to the city for a TOT revenue. But, you know, when I look at it, I heard you talk about, you know, if you're going to have a business, you need to get a business permit and as if it's any other business. And I also feel that if that's going to happen, you need to operate under certain standards. And basically what a short-term rental is, it's a standalone hotel room, you know, no different than if it's in a hotel. And my concern is, you know, the health, safety, and welfare of the people. So it doesn't have to be an intense inspection. You know, I heard Jeff say inspections plural. I'm not looking for multiple inspections or annual or you know, really trying to ream the homeowner on what they've got. But I think if you're going to come into City Hall and say, hey, I've got a quote, legally habitable space that I want to use as a short-term rental, I don't think they should just take you at your word. I mean, what is that legally habitable space? Now, granted, if it's a dump, you're probably going to have a hard time getting people to rent it. But but I think there are certain things that need to be checked out. Does it have smoke alarms? What's the egress like? What is the parking like? I just think it should just be a simple cursory inspection to see what the property is like to make sure that the standards are up to par. That's really all I'm asking for.
So let me just, I'm going to paraphrase and you can tell me if I'm wrong. You're basically, your standpoint is come in, get a license. Part of that license is going to be a one-time inspection. There's things looked at, you know, is the house safe? Is there a, you know, fire detectors, et cetera? And then maybe even saying, okay, well, you have two parking spots, so you got to limit it to two cars or something like that. And so you're looking at kind of the basics and...
Just the basics. Because are we on the air right now? I don't know if
we are. We are on the air. Sure, I'm sorry.
Oh, I wasn't sure if we were. Okay. it just seemed quiet.
Welcome to Sound Off.
Just the basics, because one of the big conversations that we did have, and this, to me this is a big concern, is parking. When I was on the Planning Commission for the 10 years that I did that, there was, you know, projects would come up and there was always a reduction in parking, which really wasn't much the city could do about it, but the developers wanted that because they get more building. But when you do a reduction in parking, There's a good chance that the neighbors that are existing around that area, if it's, you know, if it's built up around, they're going to feel the effect of that, because now the new residents in this development are going to start parking in the streets, and it's just going to be a mess. And you know, and we don't want to see that. I don't want to make it more uncomfortable for other people. But with short-term rentals, it's the same thing. You have to be able to provide, you know, a minimum number of parking, whatever it might be. And so, again, a simple drive-by, if that's all it takes. Okay, they've got two parking spaces in the driveway, or whatever is the required number of parking spaces. And if they say, oh, there's room to park in the street, well, is there room? I mean, is their opinion the same as what the city's opinion is? And if there is, then fine. Okay, you've got additional parking in the street. It's not going to affect the neighbors up and down the road, or line of sight, or whatever it might be. But I think simple safety inspections, I think, are important.
So, Mark, do you have a few minutes, or do you want to? Can you stay on for a little bit?
No, I've got as much time as you need.
Okay, so I just want to kind of mediate this. I don't know if Jeff is like, oh, that's, I didn't realize that, or do you have something you want to ask him? And
yeah, I would just say the problem, Mark, that I see, and it happens all the time, is once you start saying a minor inspection, then the next thing that happens is who's inspecting, what are they inspecting for? And then they go, well, this is a gray area. Now I want code enforcement. Now I want building. Now I want the fire department. Now I want this. And we just keep dominoing something and creating a problem that we didn't have. And when it comes to short-term rental, I promise you, if it's not up to snuff and in a good area, in a nice place, it's gone. I have friends that do short-term rental. They have over 200 incredible reviews. And that's why it's rented all the time. If you've got a bad review, it's gone.
Well, and I understand that, but I also feel there's a lot of businesses, you know, whether it's a hotel or a restaurant or something. When you first open up, you're going to get inspected. They're going to look in, you know, help. The health department's going to want to see that your kitchen is adequate, that the flooring is correct, and there's, you know, all these different things that. You need to operate under a particular standard. So I don't, you know, I understand what you're saying about overregulating something to death, and I don't want to see that. But I don't think it needs to be that. And I also think that if you think there's going to be a gray area, well, you develop the what's going to be inspected up front, and you have a document. You hand that document to the applicant and say, we're going to inspect this, you know, 10 things. Just make sure that they're all in order when we get there, and the inspector can be in and out and say everything's good. It doesn't, again, you know, we're not going to go in. I mean, if you walk into a room, of course, and it smells like mold, okay, well, right, you're going to probably rent it one time, and then you're going to get a bad review, and no one's going to rent it again. I get that. But that's a health, that's a health thing, and we can, you know, stop that before it ever starts. So I just think, I don't like regulations. And over regulating something and costing people more and more money. That's not my goal, and it's not what I want to do. I'm just, you know, as an architect, you know, I got a license. The purpose of my license is health, safety, and welfare of the public. That's why I get licensed. So I guess maybe that's the mode that I'm in on this.
And where I am on this is, and I'm going to take it back to the city of Atascadero when we had a former chief of police that came to talk to me about supporting a regulation to stop open container in the city of Atascadero. And I said, why? And he said, just so we have more teeth in our tool chest. I said, well, you already have drunken public. You already have this. You already have that. I'd support something that said you can't open container between the junior high and the high school on school days and school hours, but not for the whole city. We don't have a problem. We have other problems. So this race right here.
I totally agree with that. No, we've had that conversation about that issue as well, and I totally agree with you on that. But you're comparing apples and oranges on that, because that's the same thing. Well, I'm not going to get into other stuff, but really what I see with the open container thing is, who are you trying to regulate, or who is the perceived problem with open containers around any given town, whether it's Atascadero or wherever? And you think of it's, you know, homeless people or other people. Well, are those people that are, if there is that problem, are those people going to be affected by this regulation? And I say no. Okay, so that's not going to fix the problem. But that's not. Well, and I see what you're saying. Well, there is no problem with short-term rentals now. Well, we don't know that. We don't know that these places are necessarily safe. I mean, you could have a building that was built in the 70s, a residence, and it was under code. It was passed, you know, flying colors by code then. But what is the egress like out of the bedroom windows? I mean, that's a safety issue. You got to be able to get out in case that place gets on fire. What's outside that window now? Is it a thorny rose bush, or is it safe to get out? I mean, it's just simple things like that. Let's just look and see what the safety features are. Are there smoke alarms? Does it have a fire extinguisher? Is the egress okay? Is the parking okay? And it doesn't have to have a building inspection like you're trying to sell the place.
Well, real quick, and I just want to get in between you guys for a second. I think that I'm going to paraphrase what I'm hearing. Basically, you go in, I would imagine online there'd be a list of whatever. You have fire extinguishers. If you have a pool, there's a no climb fence around it. You have parking, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're going to rent your place, you're going to look at that and say, I have that, or I need to make these upgrades or not do it. One of those three. And then to me, is the argument like we're going to do this once, or is this going to be a yearly inspection? I'm just trying to clarify, and maybe because I'm just trying to see if there is common ground between you guys.
Oh, there's a lot of common ground, but there's things.
No, I don't think it needs to be done. I don't think it needs to be done annually. I think because if you have parking, if you have space for, if, let's say you're required to have two parking spaces. And you have that. Well, I don't see that changing in a year. I don't see it changing ever unless you build something and you take up those parking spaces. So there's a lot of things that will not change over time. So it doesn't need to be done annually. I mean, every 5 years, maybe. I don't know. I think maybe just one time. If you're going to get the license, we're going to give you a permit to operate this kind of business. Then we need to see that the facility that you're offering up is up to a particular standard. That's all I'm saying. You can, if you're going to build a building, all the details are in the plans. The contractor is not going to go into City Hall and say, okay, I'll do all that stuff, and leave them alone and let them build it. The inspectors go out there and say, okay, you did do it exactly the way the plans say and the way the code requires it. So that's why inspections happen there. We can't just take their word for it. Otherwise, who knows what's going to happen? So if a homeowner comes in and says, sure, I've got all that stuff, no problem.
All right, let me give Jeff a quick chance to
You brought up the point of what I'm saying and why I'm against doing the inspections and such. If that house was built in 1970 and it's under 1970 code, and now that inspector comes in and decides, well, that window opens up and down instead of sideways, and there's a rose bush out front, and now you have an egress problem, now you've just opened a can of worms. And I don't think we should be opening a can of worms when clearly we don't have a problem. We do have a couple residents that have problems with noise. We have that on the books. Code enforcement needs to work other times, or the police department needs to respond, and people need to be able to call right away and say, hey, it's 1 o'clock in the morning and there's still a loud party going on. We already have that on the books. So let's fix it.
Well, I think too, what you think on this. I think to some degree, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I don't believe the city has liability in this. So if the homeowner is doing this, they're accepting the liability, I would imagine. You can tell me if I'm wrong and then go.
Well, you can sue anybody now.
Yeah, well, you can.
Yeah, I don't know that the city would necessarily have liability. I mean, because the city, the building inspectors can inspect something and then it fails structurally, and you can say, well, the plans examiner said everything was okay, but it failed. So who's liable for it? If the plans examiner said it was okay, does it stop with them, or does it really go back to the structural engineer? I mean, it's really the structural engineer. So I mean, they're self-insured. But to go to Jeff's point, if you have a building, or if you have a building, whether it's a current residence or not, if it's used as a residence and then you want to convert it into a commercial building, well, and it was built in 1970, well, yeah, there are going to be some things. You're going to go, oh, you want this to be an office? No problem. Let's see. Oh, your bathroom's not ADA compliant. Now, I'm not saying STRs have to be that, because there's no code that says that requires that. But there very well might be some things that if you want to operate as an STR, then there are certain standards and codes that you would have to comply with. I don't see any problem with that. That's just my thing. And again, it's a one-time thing. I don't really see it needing to be any more than a one-time deal.
Yeah, well, from my point of view, it's not an issue. Why are we creating regulation when we don't need it? We're a Tascadero. When we need regulation, we deal with it. I mean, look at your sign ordinances, and you have people come over from the Valley advertising a gun show or a reptile show, which I may want to go to the gun show, but they throw signs up and down the street, private property, city property, and by the time we react to it, the show's already over and they've taken the signs down. So we have an enforcement issue, not a regulation issue.
Right, and I'm not suggesting that this regulation or this inspection that I'm in favor of is trying to fix any perceived problem. You're saying we don't have an issue, so why are we trying to fix an issue that doesn't exist? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you're going to operate a particular type of business, I think consistency is important. Why is an STR, which is basically, like I say, a standalone hotel room, operating under a different standard than Home 2 Suites or something?
Mark, we got to run to a quick break. If you want to hold on, I can bring you back after these commercial messages.
Yeah, no, I'll stick around. Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back.
We're here to help. At Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Rich London, you're the mattress specialist, so tell me more about the mattresses on your floor.
Well, I've got some with special covers to make them cooler. I've got them with copper in the cover as well, so you get the benefits of copper just like on the other mattresses. You know, copper has healing powers, so it makes it where you get those things in your mattress, because that's where you're getting your rest and where you rejuvenate your body.
For a good night's sleep tonight and every night, see Rich London. He is the mattress specialist at 13th and Riverside, Paso Robles.
I recently had the best visit with Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialist. He fixed my hearing aid, gave me an efficient hearing test, and adjusted my hearing aids using computer software. I've had my hearing aids for several years. I never felt they were working properly until Peter fixed the issues. The clarity and volume are wonderful now.
If you have hearing aids or need a hearing aid evaluation, call Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast, 805-460-7385. 805-460-7385.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Sound Off. We're in our last segment with Jeff Oslin, and I appreciate Mark Durris calling in, and he's still on the line here. Mark, you're back live on air. We have a few minutes. There's one other thing we wanted to get to, and it's up to you if you want to just keep on with this conversation.
Yeah, I still want to touch on SloCog, and so, you can too, Mark, if you want at the end of this, maybe two more minutes on this. The only thing that I would further say from my end is the city of Paso Robles does not do inspections on short-term rentals. So there's a good example. Now, the city in Slo does, but they're a whole different thing in a college town. So comparing to our neighbor in the north, which we seem to like to do a lot, is Paso. And the other thing that is tough is without a full council consensus, I have issue with anything we're doing on this.
I'm a little uncomfortable with that, too. That was brought up. The mayor mentioned, you know, he was concerned that, you know, three council members could, or actually two, I think, because we could have went 2-1. And well, there wasn't an action item anyway. But in the future, if this comes up, when we do decide on it, if it winds up being just the three of us up there, yeah, it seems a little off that it could be 2-1. And I don't like that. I don't think it will be, but I think I'd like to see all five of us up there. I don't really quite understand. I mean, I do a little bit, but it's an unfortunate situation in this. So hopefully something like, you know, that'll get resolved.
Right. And I think, you know, I was talking to Jeff during the break. I mean, to me, business license. At the time of business license, you need to present insurance, and that would be something yearly you'd have to do, I imagine. Most cities are yearly business in the county. So yeah, I guess it's just where this all washes out at.
Yeah. So, unless you have final thoughts, Mark, let's go with Slocog, because we kind of, I'm on the fence and we differ a little bit on this one, with what they're trying to do with the tax, the half cent sales tax, moving forward. You know, your point's valid. It would help the city of Atascadero immensely. I'm just afraid, like I said the other night, of another tax when the state's broke and they're trying to figure out how to do a mileage tax now and this and that, and we have an additional gas tax and everything else.
One thing about that tax is it keeps coming back, and they keep hiring consultants to make it sound more appeasing to the cities and the people, because it's failed multiple times.
Yeah, this time, though, in defense of it, which I don't like to defend them, because our council in Atascadero really ripped them, they came back with very good standards in where the money goes and how it's used and the oversight and everything else. I will say that, for Slocog, being fair, but I personally don't want another tax.
So what, how does it look to you, Mark?
Well, yeah, the whole idea of taxing, you know, to go back on what I heard the conversation at the very beginning of the show, about me, of the three people that were up there, being probably the more conservative, and I would agree with that. And here I am, you know, sort of in favor of this tax. I don't like additional taxes either. But we, you know, my discussion with Jeff the other day was, you know, we've got about $6 million a year that we were able to spend on our roads in Atascadero. This would be basically a 33% increase in funding just from this tax. So you kind of have to take the good with the bad.
So they're doing a match, is that what they're doing? Or I can't remember.
The way it gets distributed based probably, I don't know if it's on population or how they distributed
it, was
it's the number of roads.
Sorry, Mark, for a second. It was, I believe, 55% of all tax revenue taken in gets divided equally through all the jurisdictions. So our share of that.
It's not equal because the numbers were different. And if I had my agenda handy, I could tell you what those numbers were. But our portion of that 55%, the estimate amounted to a little over $2 million. The other, you know, slow was a little bit more. I'm not really sure why. But in any case, that would be, you know, like I say, that, you know, based on what we have to spend, that's a 33% increase, and I see that as being a good thing. There was something else I was going to touch on now, and I can't remember what it is. Oh, the other thing that was a little bit kind of funky was the other portion, I don't know what the percentage of it was, goes to regional projects, and they have North County, South County, Central, and whatnot. And you have to use that portion. That was about $4 million, almost $5 million, I think, that would go to North County. So that's everything in North County. You know, how that project gets selected, and you have to spend it within a year. But then you can ask for a three-year extension. And it's like, well, think about how many Caltrans projects are start and finished in 3 years or 4 years. So I think there's still some things that need to be worked on that. Because it just doesn't seem like it's gonna pan out very well. But the first part of it, us getting $2 million a year, to me, that was enough for me to say, okay, it's like a win for us.
The other part to it that sounds more favorable this go-around is how they leverage the funds, and it would be broken up North County, South County. So if Paso needs a new interchange at 46 and they're shovel-ready, maybe that's their big project for the next 4 or 5 years. And then Atascadero needs to redo San Anselmo overpass. That might be our next one. And Templeton might get one, et cetera, by getting some more state money and some more federal money. Call it grant money. It's still your tax dollars.
Being a part of this program or doing this, then the grant money opportunities come along with that as well. So we were missing out, at least based on the presentation way. We're missing out on a lot of money that could go to our roads, and you know, and as you know, a lot of people may know that Atascadero has, you know, the largest number of miles of roads than of any jurisdiction, any city in the county, and we have the smallest budget, and we're doing the best we can. I think we're doing very good, keeping our roads maintained and up to par. This would just help with that a little bit more.
And I will say, in my opinion, and I'm from Santa Margarita, but I do business for me is Atascadero. I think Tascadero has a tax on the books. They've spent that money well. And I know a lot of conservatives that go, opposing any tax, but I think Tascadero has really been honorable with that money. They haven't put it other places. They've used it for the roads. I'd have to commend everybody on that board for that.
Yeah. Thanks
for bringing that up, because that, as I got involved with this city government and understanding how things, work here and in running for council, one of the things I learned, F-14, which is, a little bit before my time as council, but that was not a special tax, so it was 50% plus one, which meant the money really goes into the general fund, mm-hmm. and we spend it on a promise. We promise this money will be used for the roads. Well, they held to that promise 100%, and then we redid that D-24, whatever the latest one. So we extended it with the last vote, and it's on a promise. But it's proven that the money is being spent exactly the way we said it would be as far as the tax goes. So
yeah, all three of us are in agreement that the city of Atascadero, if you will, the finance manager, city manager, the city manager before that, our city is extremely fiscally responsible with our funds. The downtown was grant money, was not really Tascadero money. So you can leave that out of the equation for those that don't like it. But we are very fiscally responsible. And as long as we stay that way, that's great. I just don't know how I feel about another tax.
And real quick, Mark, we're going to be winding up the show. So maybe I'll give you like 30 seconds if you want to just have something in closing. And then I'll give Jeff some time here and let you go.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, so we'll start with that. But in having this discussion, I think this was the big one that we had last on Tuesday, and I just think there's some things to be ironed out. The STR thing's not going to come back to us for quite a while, for a few months. We've got other things to handle, but I think it's deserving of a lot more discussion, and we'll get there. Inspections or not, Jeff, I think we'll get there. But thanks for having me.
And Mark, just so you know, I always appreciate a council member, a mayor, whoever it may be, calling in when we're talking about them. You'd be surprised how many people shy away from that. So I do really appreciate you calling in today.
And Mark, so do I. We had a discussion yesterday, and I'm glad you called in and clarified. I think it's great for our city.
I toyed with the idea, but I'm glad I did. I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right. You have a good afternoon. And so, yeah, we're going to be running low on time, but
fine. But, I think you see where things are going with the city of Tascadero and STRs. And I think if you're a resident there, start voicing your opinion. Go to a council meeting. You don't have to be there all night. It starts at 6 o'clock at night. You'll be out of there at 6:30. They have a quick thing at the beginning. Unlike others, you get public comment 3 minutes and you're out. Start going and doing your opinion. It is not as scary as you think, and I'm only one person, and when people call me and say things, I try and speak for what I have coming up and or my opinion.
And I'll tell you what, I mean, for one thing, you can go online, you can see what's on the agenda, and maybe you say, oh, not tonight, but oh, next month or whenever it is, that actually interests me and I want to have a say in that. So just keeping track online, it's always posted. And then
it's not an agenda item for that night and it's coming up and you don't want to be there at 9 o'clock at night, speak a week, 2 weeks early.
Yeah.
You have 3 minutes in public comment, as long as it's not an agenda item.
Right. And I think, overall, I will say, watching Atascadero, if you get involved, I've never had anybody refuse my phone calls. Never. I've reached out to council people, stuff with the city, Terry Banish, oh my God. I mean, that woman's
amazing.
We're
a well-run city.
Really, it really is. So I think, it's just really getting your voices heard on these types of things, whether you agree with what Jeff's saying today or you agree with Mark. It's going to them and letting them know, because that's how politics should be. If enough people go in and they're on Jeff's side, well, then maybe Mark changes his mind. If they're on Mark's side, then he goes, oh, okay, I was right.
Yeah, which is fine. But I just like to always bring up what I hear and the way I think it's going, whether it's right or wrong.
No, 100%. And Jeff, I do appreciate you coming in, and I appreciate what you do for this community in Atascadero. You do a lot, and I don't think people quite realize that.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Eric.
All right, sir. Well, you have a great afternoon, and we'll be back tomorrow with Kenny and Darsha. Stay tuned. I'm not sure what they're talking about, but I'm sure it'll be interesting. Have a great afternoon.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.